Hodgson is our guest. He was the winner of the National Book Award with his book Waiting. We are pleased that his latest group of stories is called The Bridegroom, which is one of a whole set of stories. In the course of telling me these stories, and it is in the most ancient tradition, I feel, as I was reading this, I felt as if you were telling me these stories, that you were sitting there with me, that you wanted me to know in the old way, in the way that culture goes from one person to another. I was quite taken with the clarity with which you made sense out of the changing role of genders, that men and women's relationships that for thousands of years had been pretty defined and clear. And it wasn't just men and women. It was mothers and sons. It had lots of different, very clearly defined roles, all of which seemed to be the same and different, and changing and not changing.
Yeah, I think that's the part, the Confucius influence that has not been changed at all, and the fabric of life, different roles assigned to men and women, roughly have the same, remain the same. And the communists made a great effort to liberate women, try to make men and women equal in every way, but somehow this has not been achieved at all. And the capitalism, I think, has made it worse.
Made it worse?
Yes. Because now you have private business and companies. You can hire, the owner of the business, you can hire whoever you want. A lot of owners would not hire women.
Which reinforces the ancient stereotypes.
Yes, I think a woman's situation have deteriorated in China. I believe that.
But it wasn't great for the 30 years that the communists were trying very hard to pull them forward, was it?
Yeah, they do. I think we should give them the credit. They really tried very hard and to liberate women, and that was one of the great things they did.
It's to me striking, and again, in the series of stories that seem, I hadn't even thought about it, but it evolves over time. And what is striking to me is the state of the law seems also to evolve. Early on, it seemed to be just capricious.
Yes, very much so. Yes,
and subject to abuse,
with a grin on their faces as they were capricious.
It evolves to a place. It seems to where it is not, I think, our sense of what law is, but it seems to be more formalized and institutionalized, less capricious, still not fair in the sense that we would understand. I think, but at least it lacks that individual capriciousness, and it does seem to have evolved.
And also in the West, I think the laws are commonly agreed, right? Agreed upon. So that's very important for us, a shared rules, so we can play by it. But in China, very often the rules were just spoken by some leaders. For instance, in Waiting, the novel, and one of the absurd rules announced by a hospital leader was that to wait 18 years before you can get a divorce, an uncontested divorce. But the leader died long ago. Still, people just kept.
But it was just a guy, yes.
Yeah, and so that's why the people, very few people, would challenge the legitimacy of those rules.
Well, and that, you know, that's I think a central piece. We tend to think that rules have to have some sort of legitimizing authority, but more than that the authority itself has to be legitimate in some sense.
That's true, yes.
And that sense is less clear, and I think that's
very
what you're saying.
Very ambiguous, yes.
I was taken time and time again at people's willingness to accept authority, to just say, okay, I just at the very most important and the most trivial levels, that they simply wouldn't object.
Sure. Yeah, that's very normal. I think that's the tragic part of the life there. And people accept anything spoken or given by the authorities.
And the authority may be your mother-in-law, or it may be the chairman of the party.
Sure. And also the authorities may not be may not be legitimate at all. It should not exist sometimes.
Well, and you make the...
there is that wonderful line from Mao about power coming out of the barrel of a gun.
Yes, which force, yes. People were intimidated.
Well, brute force does, when everything else fails, when reason fails, brute force is available.
Well, and again, the continuities of this, when you take one of your characters out of the country, well, I guess it's the main character in waiting. He comes out of the country, he goes into the hospital, but he might just as well never have left the country, because it is all, it seemed to me, recreated in the hospital setting, where all of the same structures are equally constraining, and he still equivocates.
Yeah, and yes, that's true. And the rules were built in, so they became a part of his existence, internalized. So that, I think it's the same with many other people, many Chinese. On the other hand, we cannot blame them, because they're humans, and in that situation, many people would live that way.
Is your work available in China now?
No.
That was pretty unequivocal.
Do you expect it to be available in China?
I'm not optimistic about this, honestly.
Why? How would you characterize the resistance to your work
One Beijing publishing house in the summer, they engaged a translator. They wanted to have Waiting translated and published in China in October. And then in June, there was an article published in a major publishing world journal, which condemned this novel very savagely.
On what grounds?
3 points. One is no women had bound feet in China nowadays, and so the whole book is blasphemy to have a character like that in the book. The second is, and the cover is a pigtail worn by Chinese males traditionally, so that's not true either. And the third is that the book got 2 prizes because of the effort of American media, which tried to push the book for the prizes. In other words, there was a conspiracy against China. And nowadays it's true. In fact, the character, real person, had bound feet. And I call my parents-in-law again to check with them. The person is still alive. And
so there was a historical person on whom you based
factual,
the character.
Yeah, the fact is a factual thing. And in fact, one of my aunts has bound feet. One of my wife's aunts has bound feet. I knew many, many women in the countryside have bound feet.
That seems an odd thing for a government to get upset about. And I understand it represents the old ways, but that seems a major... A curious reason to jump all over your book, particularly number one.
Yeah.
why is that?
The author of that article didn't read the book. That was
but
obvious.
This happens all over the world.
Yes. And maybe because I have been very outspoken about the Tiananmen massacre, and the government, of course, doesn't like that. And so perhaps because of me as a person rather than the book, because of the book.
This question of bound feet, I remember as a youngster being fascinated by this. This was in the 50s. And I remember, maybe it was Pearl Buck. I mean, there were people who really celebrated the fact that Chinese women were now liberated from this ghastly physical contortion, this torture that had been going on for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And that now this wasn't going to happen. I mean, I remember as a child really being, well, it was inconceivable that anyone would do this, and then it was inconceivable that it had stopped after such a long experience. I think bound feet is a very central metaphor for the changes that you're talking about, isn't it?
To some extent, it is. But on the other hand, we shouldn't make too much of this. You know, there is a book written about this recently called Aching for Beauty.
Aching for Beauty?
Yeah, and oh. I think that's a good phrase. You know, one has to labor to be beautiful. And even in your arts, there's a lot of pain involved, like ballet. You know, you have to wear small shoes to strain your feet in order to be to dance. So in that sense, bound feet may be a case of extremity, but it doesn't mean it's really too stretched for our imagination. It's one form, maybe bizarre form, of the manifest desire for beauty. But the thing is, both the nationalists and the communists, they banned bound feet. But China was such a huge country. There were a lot of people in the countryside and some corners. They didn't care. They still had their girls' feet bound at a very, very early age.
We'll come back in just a moment with Ha Jian. We will continue our conversation about a number of things that both touch on China and the rest of the world and America, where you have settled. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I invite you to be with us when we return.